Okay, so this week's Parsha is a Shmini, and the second half, latter half of Parsha Shmini, famously discusses the laws of kosher, of what animals we're allowed to eat, what animals we can't eat, what fish we can eat, what fish we can't eat. In general, what we call kosher, what are we allowed to consume, what can we not consume? So I thought what I'd do this evening, to ask the most basic question that which I'm not the first to ask, but our chazal, our rabbis asked, and before Shemal discussed, and that is, why kosher? Right? Why did Hashem instruct us that there's certain animals that are okay, and other animals are not okay? What was the rationale behind this this instruction? And it's so much a part of our life. Right, there's so many other mitzvos that we do, once in a while, once a year, you shake the lulav, right? And if you happen to have want an egg, and there's a bird, so you shoo away the mother to get the, there's mitzvos that we do occasionally, once in a while, and then there's something like kosher, which is constant because we're always eating, we're constantly eating, so it's so much a part of our lives. The laws of kosher, but the question is why? What's it all about? So I'm just going to share with you a couple of different approaches, and then share one that I thought of, which I'm sure I'm not the only one to say this, but it's one that resonates with me. So let me begin by actually going back to Parshas Bishalach, where there's a Rashi in Parshas Bishalach. The Torah, right after Az Yashir, after the splitting of the sea, and the Jews singing a Shira to Hashem, and then the Jews having an issue with food, right, is that the Jews are now in the desert, and there's no food, and there's no water, or they come to water, and it's bitter, and God makes the Moshe throw a tree limb in the water, and it becomes a sweet, and and then they were told the following, that that God gave them chok mishpat, that God placed there as a certain laws and statutes by Yomer, and he said, im shamot tishma l'kol Hashem lokacha, and if you listen to the voice of Hashem your God, the ashar be'nav tasen, you do what is right in his eyes, bazan to the mitzvosav, and you listen to God's commandments, the Shamarta Kol Chukav, and you listen to all his ordinances, all his statutes. All the bad stuff that happened in Egypt, I won't place upon you, for I am the Lord who heals you. In other words, you keep my mitzvot, you keep my chukim, my mishpatim, all will be good. So says Rashi the following: Kol Chukav. Right, you keep all my chukim, all my statutes. So what are chukim? Says Rashi, dvarim she'enam ela gzeira samelach. Chukim are the laws in the Torah that are decrees of the king, God's ordinances. What type of ordinances? Ones below shum tam, ones that have absolutely no reason. The Yetzahara Mekantor Lehem, and because there's no reason, at least reason that we know for these mitzvos, the Yetzahara is always saying, telling us, what are you doing that for? It makes no sense. In other words, a mitzvah that makes sense to us, maybe Shabbos, to rest, take a break once a week, to refresh. Okay, that makes sense. That sounds good. Not to kill, not to steal, makes sense. But there are other things that we can't figure out why we're doing it. Why in the world does God make drive our lives crazy, make things so challenging, so difficult? Restrictions and sort of requirements that we can't wrap our head around. It doesn't make any sense to us. Ma'isrbelu, right? Why are these things prohibited? Lama nasru. And what examples does Rashi now give? And Rashi is just quoting Gemara Maseches Yuma. But the examples he gives is kagon levishas kelayim, right? The prohibition that you can't wear wool and linen together. Right, you got to buy a new suit. You got to go to the shanis checker. You got a new coat, and what do I drive myself crazy? I can wear polyester, but I can't do wool and linen. Like it seems so arbitrary. Or another one that doesn't seem to make sense: achilas chazir. Right, the prohibition against eating pork. Or Paraduma. This week's Parsha began as Parshas Para also. We're going to read about the red heifer. That's a special Torah reading for this, for Maftir for this week. So that's also, what the, you know, the part, someone's tummy, and you slaughter this red heifer, and the ashes make the person Tahor, and also part of the rule is that the Kohen himself becomes tummy by doing the process, but the person who is tummy becomes Tahor. Like, the whole thing is very confusing. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And other examples. So, what's Rashi saying? Bottom line, why do we do these things? We do it because Hashem commanded us to do it. And if Hashem commands to do it, so we do it. But what's the reason? So Rashi says clearly, lo shum tam. There isn't a reason. There's no reason. And one of the examples he gives is seemingly the laws of kashrus. For some reason, God constructed. We don't know the reason. And maybe it's arbitrary. Maybe it's God testing us to see our allegiance to him, our commitment to him. And nonetheless, we're challenged to observe these mitzvos. So this is the first approach, that what's the reason for keeping kosher? The answer is there is no reason. There is no reason. It's just this gzeras hamelech. It's the decree of the king, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we do it because Hashem tells us to do it, and that's it. End of discussion. Nothing else, to say about it. We do it because God has instructed us to do it. So that's the first approach. The first approach is that there's no reason. There is no reason. Okay. Another possibility. So the Torah now tells us towards the very end of Parsha Shemini, where it gives all these laws of all these things. You can eat, you can't eat, you can't do, you can't do. It says, Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, for I am Hashem your God. This is Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Dalet. Vizkadishem visam kedoshim. You shall be sanctified, and you will become holy. If you sanctify yourselves, you will become holy. Ki kadoshoni, for I am holy. In other words, why do I want you to be kadosh? Because Hashem says, I am kadosh. You should not defile your souls through all these creeping things that crawl on the earth. And it continues, because I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt to be for you a God. So yeah, you will be holy. And again, ki kadosh ani, for I am holy. And those Torahs of Behemava, oh, this is all the laws of the different animals and the birds and the fish. Right, that will have deal that this teaches you to separate bin a tamei bin a tahor, between that which is impure and that which is poor, bin a chaya and a chas, bin a chaya shalom teachel, between that which you can eat and that which you can eat. So Rashi says, again, this emphasis about being holy, doing this makes you holy, for I am holy. So Rashi says, Fishani akadesha sem lamala. I will sanctify you above ubalom haba. If you do these things that will sanctify you, that will, so I in turn will do things to benefit you. In other words, what I think what is Rashi, what the Torah is emphasizing here, is that at some level, there's, again, it doesn't necessarily explain the reason why we keep kosher, but by keeping kosher, by keeping these laws, this elevates us. This sanctifies us. Perhaps you can in some level, this separates us. Well, I'll talk more about it in a moment. This separates us. That on some level we're separate, distinct, like Hashem. That somehow that by observing this these mitzvos and these limitations and these restrictions, that brings about kedusha. That brings about sanctity. Okay, so I'm going to come back to this in a moment, but observing these laws, clearly the Torah is saying it brings about some level of kedusha, some level of sanctity. Now, skipping to end of Parshas Kedoshim, where again it mentions a little bit about these laws of keeping kosher, it says there at the very end of Kedoshim, v'daltem bein ha-behemah torah l'tameyah. Again, you should separate between that which a pure animal and an impure animal. A pure bird and an impure bird, Rashi tells us the following. He says that, again, the pasuk says, "Asher yivdalti lachem l'tamei," right? That I have separated. God says that I've set apart to render certain things impure, right? Certain things, certain food items, certain animals are impure. So Rashi says, I've separated you from the nations of the world in order to be mine. If you separate yourselves from other people, then you'll be mine. But if you don't, then you'll belong to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king who destroyed, the Babylonian king who destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash. So if you separate yourself from other people, then you'll be like me. But if you don't separate yourself, but you want to be like the nations of the world, then you're going to get yourself into trouble. And Rashi continues and says the following. Quotes the Medrash, the Gemara, the Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer. Lazar ben Azariah says, Lazar ben Azariah, he's going to visit us at our Seder. And he's the one who says, like, it's as if I'm 70 years old. Right, and he talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the idea of remembering the going out of Egypt, both the day and at night. So, in any event, he says here, Minayim, how do you know, Shlo Yomar Adam, a person should not say, Nafshi Katsa B'Basar Chazir. A person shouldn't say, you know what, when it comes to pork, when it comes to crab, you know, when it comes to, I don't know, any, you know, non-kosher bird, animal, fish, you shouldn't say, you know, I'm not eating it. I'm not eating it because nafshi katsa b'basar chazir. I'm nauseated by it. I can't stand the smell, the way it looks. I don't want it. Or when it comes to kalayim, for example, right? Wool linen. You shouldn't say, I don't like the texture, the way it feels, the way it looks. Rather, what should you say? A person should say the following. Efshi, I would love to wear kalayim. If it was up to me, my whole wardrobe would be kalayim. And if it was up to me, I'd have pork and bacon and shellfish and crab every night for dinner. It looks great. It's I would love to eat it. But uma esa, but what can I do? Avishabashamayim gazar alai. God has decreed this upon me. Talmud Lomar. What's Rashi say? What's the Medrash saying? That what's the purpose of these mitzvot? It's to make you separate. It's to make you distinct. In other words, you may have every right to want to eat these things. You could have every right to want to wear wool and linen. But why are you doing it? Because it's a reminder that God wants you distinct, that God wants you separate. So according to this, the point of the laws of kosher is to keep us separate, right? You know, you talk about, you know, that the you know people interact with one another. You know, over you know, you break bread with someone. You know, it's socially often the way people you know interact is through getting together for eating dinner, you know, cocktails. That's how people socialize. And by putting this restriction upon us, it forces us to be separate. It causes us to not to be able to interact and to socialize with those who are not Jewish. Right? It keeps our guard up. It reminds us of our identity of who we are, and the many levels it protects us. Right? And it forces us that you know, you can interact with other people to a certain degree, but the kosher laws are always are a barrier, right? They always are that reminder and that prohibition that forces you to stay separate from the nations of the world. Again, as Rashi says, like if you stay separate, if you stay away from idolaters, you know, learn from them, I will be with you. But if not, well, then you know that then things won't be good for you. So according to this approach, there's a very good reason for the kosher laws. Right? The point of the kosher laws is for us to keep separate. It's for us to not socialize and not to interact with the nations of the world, you know, who may be a very bad influence upon us and may cause us to forget. It's very interesting that you know, early Reform Judaism, one of the first things that they got rid of was the laws of kosher, because there was a big emphasis on we the Jews, we want to interact with the nations of the world, right? We want to be accepted, right? Germany, right? We want it. We're just like everyone else, and we can contribute to society. And by doing certain things, we keep ourselves separate. One of the things that kept Jews separate was kosher, or was the food. But Rashi says that's actually the point. The point is don't know, right? And unfortunately, history has proven, you know, the wisdom of this, that when you break down these barriers, so you see, you know, what happens with intermarriage, all these other things that follow. So the laws of kosher maintain this this barrier, this separation. It's this reminder of who we are. Let me just share with you two other quick approaches in the Ramban, and then I'll give you my final take on it. So the Ramban in Parshas Shmini, and I believe that the Rambam also has this this opinion, and people debate this, but this was their theory. They say the following. This is in Perek Yud Aleph. This is the Ramban in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel. Again, the Torah here is discussing, you know, what you can eat, what you can't eat. And so he says, the Vinei Tam, again, a reason. Tam Isser Ophos, Mipnei Achzarius Toldosom. Babahemos Yitachin Shiu Mipnei Kain. Shein Bavala Gera Parsa Shishuras Dores Bashar Kulam Yutrofo. You know what birds the Ramban says are mostly prohibited? They're birds of prey. And by their nature, he says, they're achzarius, they're cruel. And the certain animals that we cannot eat, it's also, he says, they came for the same reason. In other words, the Ramban even goes a step further. The Maimonides says, by eating, the reason why the Torah doesn't want to eat certain animals, because it doesn't want us to be like those animals. That not to learn from those animals. That those animals by nature are animals that are cruel, that are the birds of prey, that that claw and destroy and harm other animals. And by ingesting that food on some level, we're ingesting those terrible quality traits. And therefore, we need to stay far away from it. Again, either symbolically, those animals, you know, are we need to stay away from, or even on some metaphysical level by eating those animals, that will somehow, again, on a metaphysical level, somehow transform our nature into becoming like them, and therefore we need to not eat those animals. Now, again, that theory, the Forsham strongly debate this whether that's correct or not, but this is a very fascinating approach that the Ramban as well as the Rambam both give. And then the Ramban Nachmani says one other possibility. He says that the following: Hine nimsa betoldasam shiri mashiskil chem in zechron levracha. That there also exists a difference in their natures, where our rabbis have told us that there's certain traits of these animals, or there's certain qualities of these animals that are, that from a physical perspective, shiaziku be'ivrei hazera, that somehow they harm our bodies, that they are unhealthy for us, and in different areas, whether it's reproductive areas or whether it's a general health. He says, it's known that some of the kosher animals, the some of the nutrition is very good for us, and that he says some milk from non-kosher animals is very bad for us. In other words, he's saying that the diet that God put us on is a healthy diet. Right, that there's some nutritional benefit to the animals that are deemed kosher, and the ones that are not kosher actually are harmful. That's the Ramban. Now, I saw the Kli Yakar and many others don't necessarily agree with this Ramban. You know, is that really the case? You know, if you go to any shul kiddush and you wonder about, you know, is eating kosher healthy? Ain't too healthy if you look at the kiddush table in terms of what's put out there. So, you know, who knows? You know, but this is a theory the Ramban has. Again, maybe it's for health reasons. And the other reason why some people don't like the Ramban, besides whether it's if it's accurate, is also like that's it, that's the reason. Right? The Torah the Torah itself said that this makes you kadosh, makes you holy. It doesn't say it makes you healthy. It says it makes you holy. So the first answer could be it makes you holy, like the answer about not, you know, becoming not mimicking the animals, not being violent like these animals. So maybe that would be kadosh. These are the two approaches of the Ramban, and the first one the Rambam shares as well. Again, either it's you know, we don't want to mimic these animals, or again the health reason. Again, we saw that the first reason of Rashi and Parshas Beshalach, that it has to do with there's no reason, just it proves our loyalty to Hashem that we do it even though there's no reason. And then we saw this other reason, which I now want to just add my own two cents to this. You know, this Rashi at the end of Parshas Kedoshim of the separation, right? That the laws of kosher. So again, the Rashi was saying that it keeps us separate from the non-Jews, and because we can't interact socially with non-Jews over food, therefore we're not going to interact with them. Because people often you get into trouble when you're socializing, when you're spending too much time together, and people spend time together over food. So this is a barrier and a health and an important barrier that that again keeps us away and keeps our own, you know, unique reminds us of who we are. Reminds us that we're Jews, and we don't intermarry, we don't give up our faith. So I just want to add to this, and that is, I think I said this in Shul a year or two ago, that, you know, when you travel, so, you know, on many levels, keeping kosher today in the 21st century is pretty easy. It's very easy. Not the cheapest thing in the world, but there's great availability when it comes to kosher food, right? Especially if you live in a decent Jewish community. You know, you might be lucky to have a couple of kosher restaurants or many kosher restaurants, and you know, good chance you're going to have a one or two or more butchers and bakeries and pizza shops and a kosher store. If you don't have a kosher store, you know, you'll probably have a Kroger or some other supermarket that carries a lot of kosher products. So it's pretty easy to keep. The only time it's somewhat of a challenge is when you're traveling, right? So when you're traveling. And you know, this past summer we took the family. We took the money that the government gave us, the stimulus money, and we decided to invest in the U.S. economy. So we took the kids out west. We went to the national parks, and so you're going out there. There's not really. You're in Montana. You're in Wyoming. No kosher restaurants, and there's no kosher stores. So what do you do? So thank God there's Walmart. And Walmart has you can buy your Philadelphia cream cheese, and you can find a lot of, you know, thankfully lots of things today, thanks to the OU, many other organizations. There's tons of kosher products out there, but you also have to plan ahead and plan in advance. You have to buy a grill, and you have to kosher the grill, and you're gonna have to bring meat with you or fly into an area where you can pick up some meat, and it takes a lot of thought, right? And you know, you're on vacation and you're in these areas, you know, where there's lots of restaurants. So people who are on vacation have lots of options, but you, the Jew, don't have any options because you keep kosher. And so I think that the amazing thing about the laws of kosher is that the laws of kosher, no matter where you are, it always reminds you that you're a Jew, right? It's you have to eat. Right, you can't go without eating, and therefore you're always going to be happy thinking Jewish, because I gotta put food in my mouth, and I gotta do it a couple several times during the day, and I'm always gonna be thinking about, hey, where am I gonna get food that I can eat? And as a result, it's gonna remind me, hey, why am I doing this? Why am I driving myself crazy? Because this is what Hashem wants from me. That even in Wyoming, I need to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And no matter where I am in life, or I'm on the airplane and everyone is on the flight as this night looks like a nice dinner, and I'm getting this thing, double, triple, quadrupled wrapped, and I can't open it up, and it's doesn't look and smell too good. But why am I doing this? Because of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because I'm a Jew and I believe in Hashem. Or, God forbid you're in the hospital and you get this, I don't know how bad it is on a plane, but it can be, 10 times worse in the hospital when you don't have a great appetite anyway. It's again, it's constant, right? A lot, most other mitzvos are not all the time, or they're not impacting us on a continuous, constant basis. But we're always eating, and because we're always eating, it always forces us and reminds us that we are a Jew. And if that's the case, then the laws of kosher are, I mean, they're powerful, and they're so helpful, and they're something that keeps us on guard and keeps us focused, 24/7, all the time, and doesn't matter where we are, and what is happening, but it always forces me to think about the fact that I'm a Jew, and if we don't keep kosher, so. That Jew awareness is not necessarily always going to be present, but the kosher is going to force you to always have that Jew awareness. So again, I don't know exactly if that's 100% the reason. It could be there's multiple reasons, and again, this particular Rashi seems to highlight that idea. About again, in theory, I would love. I'm on, in Wyoming. It'd be very easy to walk into McDonald's. I'd be happy to go into Burger King, but I can't. Because Hashem has told me that I can't, and as a result, I got to figure out some other way, how to keep a kosher diet. But it's not just about keeping a kosher diet; it's about remembering that I'm a Jew, and all that comes with that. Therefore, every time we eat, it's a beautiful opportunity to really reflect, and the brachos help us think about, help the Chazal helped us focus with the brachos about Hashem, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just the food itself, and the awareness when I go shopping and wherever I am, that I got to think about it. It's constant, continuous reminder, and it's a beautiful opportunity Hashem gave us to think about what it means to be a Jew and about our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.